Since I was just talking with Sundar about science and so on, what about things like science and evolution and...
Thinking wrongly, I would suggest.
But as long as there's no understanding of reality, it cannot be right. Because it's by Lopa and other Jetasikas.
I think it can be science can be a hindrance for the Dharma student because they read about evolution and so on and how there's no need for Nama and so on, that because there was bacteria and then there was fishes and then there was lizards and then horses and then monkeys and so on.
Anything which does condition citta to be reborn in heaven or human being must be Dharachana, which are Dharachana. You know that? The other subjects which does not bring about understanding and condition to the wholesome realm.
Right. However, in the Digha Nikaya, there's the sutta where the Buddha talks about how beings came down from the Samarupa Brahma plane. So there is some explanation by the Buddha of how life began and how things occur on Earth. So we have the
Gama Sutta.
The Digha Nikaya.
Gama Sutta.
Yeah. And beings in those days, they came down and they survived on joy alone and so on, and then they started...
No matter what kind, what level of what bhumi, there are only six surveys.
Right.
That's
right. Yeah. However, if science says one thing and Dharma says another, or the Theravada says another. Yep.
What, the six stars?
Yes, of course. But for the Dharma student, it causes conflict when they read science. People have developed a lot of faith in science over many years.
Like what?
Well, they read, first there were bacteria in the ocean.
Okay, what is the nature of bacteria? What is the truth, the absolute truth?
It's just a rupa.
That's all.
Yeah, but
it will come down to the absolute reality.
Absolutely, but then science says this rupa magically turned into beings with like fishes and so on.
Yeah, by temperature.
By
temperature.
Yes.
Or by karma, depending on whether it is the being or not. Only rupa cannot experience anything.
Right. But science posits that there is no karma as such. They have found their explanation wrongly.
Yeah.
That rupa has somehow magically transformed into monkeys and humans and so on. And because people think science is developed by these very intelligent people over many years and they've had experiments, people have a great deal of problem with the Dharmic explanation.
What is more precise?
Of course, the Dharma.
So tell them.
And what's true, yeah.
Just tell them, but there's something more precise than just science.
Sometimes I think we have to be upfront and confront science directly because a lot of it is wrong.
Well, is it science or people's thinking?
Well, it's people's thinking under the umbrella of scientists saying that, right?
Because science is useful in a conventional sense.
Some parts of it, yeah. Where it's right, it's right. And where it's useful, it's useful. But where it's wrong, it's quite dangerous.
Well, it's never right in the absolute sense, even if it's talking about consciousness. It's not talking about citta.
No, of course not. Yeah.
Different aspects.
Yeah. So it's people taking science to be talking about absolute realities that is the problem. If
more
we understand science to be talking about just concepts,
yeah, well,
it's okay.
some scientific concepts are useful and roughly correct, not as accurate as Dharma, of course, but some, as I'm trying to point out, like the evolution idea, are obviously wrong. Or the fact that they're saying consciousness is something that arises out of brain matter, things like that. It can be, I think, it's in those cases we have to say no, that is incorrect.
You just say it's a theory.
Yeah. It's a wrong theory.
Yeah. Well,
it's mitzaditi, actually.
It depends.
It depends, yeah.
Yes. It depends on whether it's a held view or not. If they do an experiment and say A and B results in C, that's just a scientific statement, not necessarily a held view.
I think after discussing with a few scientists, they hold it quite strongly.
Well, they may, but yeah. I'm just saying it would vary from one scientist to the other whether it's actually a wrong view or a statement of the outcome of a scientific experiment.
Yeah. Hmm. But if you read the textbooks, the people who write the textbooks, they would strongly state and believe that because of brain matter, eventually out pops consciousness. In other words, consciousness is rupa. Yeah, that's what they... And I think they strongly believe that. So
we don't know.
Well, you can ask them, and I have, and that's what they say. They do. Is that a strongly held view in that case? Is that wrong view?
There's no others, nothing others than rupa, than materiality.
Yes, they call it they call consciousness an epiphenomenon of matter in the brain, which is another way of saying it's if there's the matter comes together, this is a special kind of matter.
What about the experiencing, like touching the brain? Do they know about the difference? That touching is not the brain.
Not more.
See?
I mean, it's just so wrong, that's what I... Yeah.
But they can begin to understand that which experiences no shape, no form at all. Yeah. No matter we call it science or not.
True, absolutely true, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying no scientist can come to understand Dharma. I'm just saying at the moment in the world, science is maybe quite a dominant force. And I meet a lot of people, even Buddhists, who... rate science here and Dharma here, and if they conflict, they will go with the science.
Let the scientists touch the brain and ask what is there.
Well, they kind of do. They put in electrodes and things, right? No.
Just at the moment of touching, only that very moment. Just that particular moment of touching, what's there? If there's no thinking about brain, what is there?
Yes.
And what is that which experienced that? So the brain cannot experience. And the experiencing is different from the brain, for sure.
Right.
You made a comment yesterday, and then we changed the topic, but you said something like, if science agrees with the Dharma, then it's a condition for more sadha confidence
my
in the Dharma.
Was that the only benefit to science that might ever come about is that sometimes science and Dharma seem to agree, and if they do and it increases confidence in someone, then it might be useful. That was my only point.
If we don't talk about science, can we talk just about different thinking?
Yes.
Only then.
If someone believes in the Dharma just because it agrees with science, then it's not a start for understanding Dharma, right?
Oh, no, but it's just a point that some people do see some congruity in some aspects, so it might help a little bit. I mean, anything that might bring up satta at all, you know, and influence someone to believe in Dharma more and study Dharma more might be useful.
Yeah. But some people receive Dharma, they think that this is Dharma and that is not Dharma because they don't know that whatever is real is Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
They just think that it's only the teachings of the Buddha, is Dhamma, about many, many difficult words like Ayatana and Ariyasaccha and so on, without the understanding, the basic understanding of realities.
Right, well, there's most people, most Buddhists.
Mm-hmm. So they think they learn about Dhamma, but actually, you know, understanding.
Oh, you mean they just sort of study the language of Dhamma?
People in Thailand study Dhamma and know nothing about this moment at all. So they are not learning.
That's also a problem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, of course.
And if they think that, if it seems that science agrees with Dhamma, for example, maybe they read about elements or atoms and it seems that it's more or less in agreement, but I think when it seems in agreement, it means not understanding Dhamma. So I don't know that Sadha can really.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dubious point. I will agree, it's a dubious point. However,
we could say that maybe they're not put off the Dhamma, or maybe it's a condition to read a little bit more. But
that's about
all.
And through what doorway can an atom be experienced?
Well, I mean, an atom is just a model or concept of science.
Of thinking, or touching.
It's through the mind or just the imagination. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just only thinking about that which is seen, or heard, or touched. And that which is experienced must be different. When it's the object which is seen, is a reality different from that which is heard? So when we ask about our ways of understanding, what will the scientist say?
Oh, nothing useful at all. No, nothing. Nothing. Zero. Totally.
But when we talk about the our ways, do they agree?
I was reading a scientist for a thing, actually on DSG. That guy Stephen brought up something that says there's more than six doorways, right? Remember that? There's more he's found. Science has apparently found other senses. So it's crazy stuff.
What is that?
Other senses. There's
what is that?
Often when people talk about whales or sea animals, they talk about another sense too, don't they?
And
it's been
also
proved
that,
by science.
And he says science has proved that people can hear through the eyes or something, or I don't know, some strange stuff.
People
just,
who are,
can hear colours and see sounds.
So it gets crazier and crazier the further you look into it, really.
Actually, it doesn't really matter whether it's science or anything else if it's not any kind of thinking, which is not thinking about dharmas rightly, is going to be full of all sorts of strange ideas, whether it's any philosophy or any science or any religion.
For today, the basic understanding of nama and rupa is not firm yet.
Right.
Yeah. So how can there be further understanding if there's no firm understanding at the beginning?
What about the overall pariyatti though, like things about karma, you know, from the past, or jataka and so on, things that we have no idea or no way of proving whether it's true, like the jataka tales, like the story of...
Talk about what, jataka?
Well, I talked about the one in the rabbit in the moon.
Seeing in the past.
Yes.
Or hearing or whatever
in
the past.
Yes. But there's more to it than just seeing. In the actual commentary, they go into the details about the rabbit who taught his fellow animals about sila. I mean, I find it quite useful, but I notice when I talk to people about that, a lot of people are very sceptical.
Not about seeing, hearing.
No. If we stick only to seeing and hearing, I mean, obviously it's...
There must be seeing, hearing, so...
So what's the point about the...
Well, these... stories going beyond just talking about the deep aspects of seeing, hearing, which we know we can prove now, Is it good to know about the fact that the rabbit taught his fellow animals about Sila, and Saka came down and took a form as a monk and was impressed with the rabbit and sculpted the rabbit's image?
So is there Saka?
Yes.
Well, so I mean, it depends on him whether he will come down or not. That's all.
But those sort of stories, do you think they are a useful part of Dharma?
I think that when I read Tipitakas, yes, I do not mind at all what is there and what is the essence
of the essence
each sutta. For example, if it talks about the five or six things, I don't have to remember all, but I would like to know the sense of it. What is the most important thing there, just to understand?
Well, of course, in the Jataka, the morality and the karma and so on that they explain, those there's always a point.
And the continuation from moment to moment of samsara.
Right.
I think it's actually talking about conditionality too.
It is very much. Yeah.
That there have to be support conditions in the past that support the present. So people's habits, and the Buddha often alluded to that, that people's habits were, you know, he gave different, well, the, what they're doing now, they also did in the past, like in the case of the
Sasi. That's so true, isn't it?
And how long time, samsara.
When I first studied Buddhism and I read the Dhammapada commentary and the Jataka commentary and so on, I was very amazed that people today are exactly the same as people thousands of years ago and so on, because growing up in the West, you sort of think everything has changed, you know. It's that was one of the points I most noticed, It's just nothing has changed at all.
And the details of the story will all be forgotten sooner or later, but the main point or the understanding from it is accumulated. So
I hope so.
And we really don't know what we are talking today will be conditioned for the realization of what we are talking about. But it has to be from moment to moment. We can call Chataka when it's previous life.
People are bothered by the number in the suttas, like everywhere is 500, and they think that it sometimes seems to be so untrue.
Right.
Yeah, but like I said, what is the sense and what is the understanding
main point
that comes from it? It's the main point.
Sorry, Jinpo, I didn't get that initial point that you made about the number. Sorry.
Yeah, like sometimes it's 84,000, sometimes it's 500 this and 500 that. And
seems to be rounded up here and there or rounded down.
Sometimes a lot.
It's easy to be distracted by some details and miss the main point and just start wondering about the number or this or that and forget about what miss the whole point of the
suit. Or the number of people who got killed by a wild cow.
Yes.
Just on that point, I'm thinking, like, again, I was looking at the Dhammacakka Sutta, thinking about that, and it talks about the 10,000 world systems. How do you, when you read something like the 10,000 world systems, how do you interpret it?
10,000
world systems.
In the Dhammacakka,
I have no interest at all. How many? It doesn't matter, as long as no understanding of whatever appears. Yeah. No one can understand all the words in Tipitaka at all.
No.
But one can get more understanding from any sutta or Abhidhamma or Vinaya.
Do you think learning the Pali is helpful, Ajahn?
It's like learning English. Mm. You can speak English, but you cannot understand Dhamma if there is no study of Dhamma.
Mm.
That's why many monks who had the degree, highest degree of Pali, do not understand Dhamma at all. Yeah.
And if someone understands Dhamma and they study Pali, is that a benefit?
The benefit of understand Pali is that you understand more profound.
Mm. So it is.
Yeah.
How would learning Pali for someone who understands Dhamma help understand Dhamma more?
Because the precision of the words would sink in more. There'd be more accuracy, possibly in reading the suttas. I guess, I imagine.
It takes a long, long time to be able to that degree that can understand. So instead of doing so, why not studying Dhamma in one's own language? Yeah. That's why I started to learn Pali and then no more, and then start again, no more, and then start again. The third time I finished. Yeah. Better use the time for understanding Dhamma rather than trying to study Pali.
Which version of the suttas, which manuscript? Because if you read the commentary notes of Bhikkhu Bodhi, he's referring to three or four different...
Yeah, but only occasionally. There's a few words that are different. It's not like every sentence is different. There's just a few...
You know, when you ask the meaning from the Pali expert, but has no understanding of Dhamma at all, you can understand better from his translation.
Like this latest dictionary, the Cone Dictionary, which... Pali Text Society is producing, but...
Is it a good one?
But it's so much finances and it's so detailed, or like the Buddhist encyclopedia that came out of Sri Lanka. You look up some word like ayatana and no understanding at all, or else they talk about the origin of the term, which is actually the Sanskrit term, but in the Sanskrit term, like citta, the meaning is quite... different, so actually it doesn't help at all.
Yeah,
so
that's why you cannot study Dhamma from dictionary at all. Yeah. Like the chanda, wish, it's not wish, it's interest.
Maybe it's a better hobby though than most hobbies, like most, you know. Than stamp collecting or something.
If one knows it's just hobby of loba, then it's...
That's what I mean, as a hobby on the side. Not that I...
As long as one doesn't think it's the way to develop wisdom.
Because one life, it's not enough to understand reality. And if we do not spend more time for it, and we spend the time for other things... we have less understanding.
It's a bit of a worry.
But I think Robert's point is there're going to be many different hobbies run by, ruled by attachment anyway, so it's
Or is the impermanent or impermanent in Pali?
What, sorry?
Like I learned, is the impermanent or impermanent in Pali? How do you say that in Pali?
Anicca.
Is seeing permanent or impermanent, right?
Right.
In Pali.
Anicca, Kuvinyana, Anicca, something like that?
Yeah. But still the meaning really counts.
Just the same.
Right.
It's the same. So today I have the theme of wondering about the science. Like, and now I'm totally convinced that when we study Dhamma, can we study about ultimate realities? But sometimes I'm wondering, like, some science, like psychology, or even the science of history, presents some patterns, like the psychologies of people, it has some patterns, or even so, like history, science, and they analyze the past events in order to have some lessons for like present. So it somewhat try to find the patterns of this world. Like even so, So now I'm convinced that they're not, but even you, your major word is psychology, and you say it must teach us about ultimate realities, but even if
it's about nothing about dharma, which are anatta
at all. Yeah.
But even if like that is wrong, how to say, like, but it's trying to present some patterns, and it seems like it is applicable for millions of people in this world. So it has
its own purpose, like science and whether and psychological research. There can be many benefits, like they're looking at which treatments are suitable for cancer, or what are the side effects, or this. So it has its own purposes, its own way, but nothing to do with understanding dharma. Like in psychology, a lot is said about memory and about emotions, but no understanding of sanya or memory as arising and falling away to each moment as dharma. So it's just a conventional idea about memory, or measurement of conventional idea, like testing people's memory in different circumstances. It's just a conventional idea of memory, nothing to do with understanding dharmas.
So is this helpful? What if, like, there's a lot of psychologically sick people and they need those treatment?
Yes.
Is it worthwhile? Yes.
Like if there's research on what treatments are helpful for people who have dementia, which they say is lost memory. So it's very, medical research, very beneficial in its field. But however much researcher is, it will never bring any understanding of dharma.
And honestly, psychology seems to be a bit of a failure. It doesn't really seem to help many people, does it?
Right. Well, I think that
cancer research might be better.
But the many different areas, like I still read some psychological research, which is really good, and some is very close to medical research. And so it's a bit like scientific research. You can see a lot of it's just complete waste of time. But
yeah,
there's
like
some
treatment for depression and that sort of thing.
But they don't seem to get far with it.
There's no reason why they shouldn't.
I think about other things at the moment of hearing the teachings.
Why, when hearing about dharmas or discussing dharmas like now, why think about other topics like psychology or science or history or?
That's the first moment I appreciate how definite it is to my understanding how worldwide it is. And on the other hand, right after that moment, I think that's so which is. Just even for psychological treatment or learning to develop ourselves,
it's like studying history has some benefits. Studying economics is useful for many purposes, like understanding how the monetary systems work, but nothing at all to do with understanding dharmas. So it depends on the purpose and what one's interest is, whether one would like to learn more about the truth of life now, or whether one wants to study more about monetary systems or medicine or some other topic. But don't try to mix it.
Here's another thing with science, and people who study science seem to have a problem with dharma sometimes, is the fact that the heart base is where the mind or is, but scientists, and I notice a lot of Westerners in particular, I don't know about Vietnamese, really believe that it's all arising at the brain. What can we say to that?
Yeah. I don't understand what brain is.
True, yes. No, that's
Well, also they don't understand what consciousness is either, because they take the measurable change in the brain as being consciousness.
Right.
But it's not.
No, exactly.
It's a different definition of consciousness altogether.
So why do we spend time to think about science?
Right.
See? The more we think about science, it's go on and on.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, if it is not worthwhile about science, why do we, this world, the whole world, just stunning, but
just forget about the other things. Yeah. For example, the heart base. Can anyone understand it? If there's no hearing the teachings at all. As much as they can think about is only hardness, softness, but that is not heart base. Or even the eye base, ear base, it's not heart. Actually, the bases are the coarse rupas.
Yeah, but they're still subtle. Science can't ever see them, right? Yeah, it's interesting. When, if someone has huge sadness, and they sometimes they feel the heart is, there's some parts very painful in the heart. Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
Idea of thinking.
But that pain is real.
What is real at that moment?
A painful feeling.
Pain is not heart.
Right, but you, but the pain does not feel here. It feels somewhere here.
But the moment of experience is through body sense. It has to be just the hardness, softness, or heat and cold.
So can heart base part of the body sense?
Is heart base part of the body sense?
What do you mean by body?
I mean the being able to touch or experience touching.
No.
No way.
No. Because the object which can be touched must be only the tangible objects, the three tattoos.
But the Vedana arise together with the citta in the mental process. If it's extremely domanasa,
yeah, but domanasa is not rupa.
No.
At that moment,
domanasa, there's no experience through the body sense.
Right. But somehow you feel it's here, so it's not.
Seeing and hearing, they seem arise together, appear together, but actually, just one at a time.
I'm seeing this indication that the heart base is indeed at the heart. It's what you are suggesting?
I actually don't know.
After the body feeling, the bodily feeling, there can be the mental feeling, but they're not the same. Different realities. Bodily feeling is not mental feeling.
No. So the question was, when, you know, there are many cases where people feel very, very sad and then they feel the heart is.
Right. So what's the question about exactly?
And the question is, what's that?
The bodily feeling.
That's
just like headache.
Is it right, that's the question. That's painful bodily feeling, right? Mm-hmm. But at that moment, what's touched that body?
The rupa which can be touched must be only the three tattoo. Patavi, Techo, and Vayu only. Nothing can be touched.
So it's the Hataya, no way.
Maybe he referred to the Ditasha Rupa. Like with someone that had a lot of dosa in
there. Can anyone touched citta charupa? It depends on whether the four elements conditioned by citta, but it's still the elements rupa, hardness, softness.
Well, with the hidaya rupa, there's also the four great elements, right? In the kalapa.
The four. That's why in Samkalapa there are at least 10, at 8, and then more and more and more by conditions. So the Hatiya Vattu, the heart base, is not the four primary.
No, but in the Kalapas.
That's it. That must, yeah. That's why we call that the primary rupas. Without them, there cannot be other rupas at all. Even the heart base must need it.
Yes.
And the conventional idea of heart as being here, for example, is the Hadaya Rupa is just a tiny rupa that arises in a Kalapa and falls away. So we cannot say that this is the Hadaya Rupa or anything like that, because it's just a minuscule tiny rupa rising and falling away in a Kalapa.
But there are many different, what we would call physical manifestations of emotional states, excitement, anger, sadness. They can all have a corresponding bodily sensation.
That's it.
Because the body sense it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So even if you say that it is painful here, it is just a function of the feeling that arises with the body, bodily consciousness arising at the body senses.
So it's Hadaya in the heart area, even though it's not location wise.
It's high in the heart area, but it's just a tiny.
Right. It's inside the blood.
Is that right?
It says. That's what it
says.
Inside the heart, right?
It's,
it realizes, it says,
in
the
Sri Bhagavad, it says it. Yeah, but it's not hardness, softness, and other rupa. No. It is a special one, conditioned by karma, arising and falling all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are we trying to pinpoint the...
No, just not curious, just want to know where it's not here. Yes.
That curious, just like to know.
But when we, for example, if someone's there's an overwhelming sadness and then there's painful feeling here or whatever, then we can't say it's the Hadaya Vattu, the Rupa Hadaya.
What's the next one, Rob?
Okay, and Roxanne was asking about destiny at lunch today, Ajahn. She was, one of her things is if everything's, it seems like everything's conditioned, and even hearing the Dharma is conditioned, and considering the Dharma is conditioned, and all the things that lead towards understanding are conditioned. So because there's no one here, there, how can it not be like destiny? That was Roxanne's question. Can we clarify that?
Because there are so many realities, many conditions for the arising. But if there is no understanding of one characteristic, it's impossible to understand what are conditions. For example, there is seeing right now. The eye base does not appear.
But it's conditioned.
As conditioned. But seeing is not hearing. See, from intellectual understanding, they must understand that it has different conditions for seeing and hearing. Until the actual eye base is there as object, so one knows. If not, it's impossible. Everything depends on different levels of understanding. Intellectual understanding is only intellectual about whatever is heard, like sense of self, seeing now experiences that which can be object of seeing only, see, just a moment, because moment before seeing cannot see, the moment, just the next moment cannot see, but they experience the same object which hasn't fallen away yet, and that can be the asava, that which arises kamasava and vichasava or titasava, there, who knows? Because they're falling away completely.
Even the idle process.
Yeah. So, what about the bhavanga in between? No one knows. So it depends on the actual moment of that level of understanding only. which can understand each reality. And when we talk about the high level, not the intellectual level, it means that there must be the actual moment of direct understanding by conditions. There must be the understanding of conditions continue on and on and on from moment to moment in order to have less and less clinging to the idea of self. That's why it takes quite a long time. Whatever appears now can be object of understanding, not from hearing only, but the difference between moment of direct awareness and understanding is there. So one knows what moment is conditioned to be direct understanding and what moment is not, in order to see that no one there. It takes quite courage to not to follow the self or the attachment, trying to find out. So the meaning of letting go is not the matter of self, but it's a matter of panya, which understands better and better and better enough until no matter what's here now, it's not known, all right, it's gone. And depending on condition itself to have the understanding directly of anyone unexpectedly. All the way.
So actually when there are ideas that it sounds like destiny, it's actually there's still an idea of self behind it, but it's subtle. Mm-hmm. And one hears that whatever arises in life is conditioned, and one thinks that makes sense, but actually unless there's the understanding of the realities directly, then there cannot really be the understanding mm-hmm. of how that reality is conditioned. Like if one just talks about seeing and hearing, everything is conditioned, it's not really understanding the conditioned nature of seeing or hearing. And I think that when there it is the understanding of realities as condition, then no more mm-hmm. idea about destiny. But it's a very subtle point.
And when we talk about the Virya Parami or mm-hmm. Kanti Parami, when there is not enough understanding, it cannot see. How can Virya and Kanti be Parami? Because it takes quite a long time to understand that no self, no one at all. And even there is Virya here and now with Chittas, which are not the Ahetuka, the 16, mm-hmm. it does not appear at all.
No.
So when it appears as not self, one knows that it's Kanti. It takes time, quite a long time, to become used to no self at all, of whatever appears, no matter what.
In the higher levels, like Nama Rupa Parichidanyana, would you say that's a fearful thing to see the world flipped over, to see the mind door and so on?
What is conditioned to arises. Its fear arises, it's there, mm-hmm. as no self.
Mm-hmm.
If right understanding arises, it's not fear,
mm-hmm.
and it's present.
Yeah,
so it depends. Yeah. Only right understanding is there to understand whatever is there after that. Because it's not just one moment, which is jnana.
It's just many processes.
It depends on what's there, unpredictable, how many of them,
yes.
and which one, because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So it depends all from conditions to have firmer and firmer understanding mm-hmm. about no one, no self at all. So it takes quite a long time, because even the first Vipassana and the second one is not Kanti Jnana.
Not
Kanti Jnana.
Oh.
So there is Kanti, which is not Jnana. Like now,
yes.
one begins to see that it takes quite a long time.
Patience.
Yeah. But it takes much more than that to be the moment of direct understanding, the beginning of the development of Satipatthana. But if we don't use the term Satipatthana, it is Satipatthana, because that moment, the object is object of direct awareness. So by understanding the difference between the ordinary sati at moment of hearing and understanding and moment when it directly aware. And that's why there's the word in Pali, of the object appears well. See, and if one thinks that, oh, now it appears well, it's not as well as it's said in Tipitaka, because when there is no understanding, it cannot be well.
So it's the beginning of Satipatthana, it's appearing well?
Right.
Okay. And that's before Vipassana Jnana?
Before Vipassana Jnana, just the beginning, different from the intellectual understanding level, because... Yeah. And it's not as clear, because it's just... What is meant... Okay. What is meant by appearing well? Because when there is no sati, it's gone. See, there is touching all there. It does not appear well at all. It doesn't mean that there is no touching the food, touching the chair, but it does not appear well. But when sati is there, it is aware of hardness with understanding of the characteristic, which is hard.
The meditators, that's sort of their scene. They focus on things like touching and feeling, and they try and get this clear feeling of Vedana or whatever, right? But it's...
They do not understand anatta at all.
Because they're trying to control them.
The more they try, the more they self.
Yeah. Even though it appears in a conventional self, feeling appears clearer or... But it's the wrong
as mind. Well as when sati with right understanding is there. That's why after his enlightenment, Buddha didn't think about teaching it all. So very subtle, against the idea of self and attachment and desire. That's why for the Four Noble Truths, desire and or attachment should be eradicated before experiencing Nibbana. As long as it's there, Nibbana cannot be object of understanding. And from understanding, there can be the understanding of the different levels of Kantiyana. Kantiyana. How many yanas are the beginning of Kantiyana? And what yana are the middle one? Yeah, it's in Tipitaka.
So it just shows how much
it develops along with Satipatthana and Vipassana.
When it's Kanti Jnana, it's just referring to Vipassana.
When we talk about Kanti, it seems like we know about Kanti, yes. That it takes time doing this and that and this and that. But to understand reality must be quite different and more difficult than other things else. To really not rush to have it, not think about trying to do or anything at all, because the panya will eliminate sila patta pramasa. Otherwise, we will follow the sila patta pramasa, and only makacitta can completely eradicate the sila patta pramasa. So all the way along. So it takes the very keen panya, the highly developed panya, to really see, to reality as not self, from stage to stage of Vipassana Jnana. So no doubt about the Kanti Jnana, three stages, the weak one, and the middle one, and the highest one. It has to be more and more refined, more and more subtle, before it can be completely eradicated from samsara, never again to arise.
So it's really just showing Kanti Parami to that degree of the all stages of Vipassana Jnana.
There are many levels of Kanti. When it's not jnana, it's just like what we think. But it is much more when no thinking about having it or not. Any expectation? No. is there. Lobha, lobha, lobha. If there is no understanding of lobha, if the subtle lobha does not appear, it cannot be eradicated. So it takes kantiyana all the way.
And just the expression kantiyana, because kanti is patience and jnana is understanding. So we're referring to stages of kantiyana. So this is referring to the patience with that vipassana jnana understanding, or why is it called kantiyana?
Okay. There are not only vipassana jnanas, there are also three prinya.
Yes, the three prinya.
See?
Yeah.
So what vipassana jnana is what prinya, what level of prinya. So it means that even that knowledge is...
But the first prinya is before vipassana, right?
No. Without vipassana, it cannot be prinya at all. So the Namarupa Parichetayana and Pajyaparikrahayana is the first prinya, yata prinya. And it takes time from, and the Namarupa Parichetayana, Pajyaparikrahayana and Samasanayana, from then on, from Samasanayana, before it can be the moment of Uttayapayayana, that is the kantiyana, the weak one.
The weak one. That's Chula Sotapanna as well.
Yeah, but it,
up to the next.
It takes time, like to fight with the kilesa and the attachment and the self, because it comes and it creeps in different ways. So the path leading to enlightenment is a path of detachment all the way. Because of understanding only, that can perform the function of detachment. It's quite opposite to attachment. So whenever there is detachment, there is no attachment. But when there is no detachment, there is attachment. From asava, not known. Only 3 moments after seeing is there. So the development of right understanding is among and around kilesa.
It comes in between the kilesa, now and then.
That's why we can understand little by little the virtues of the great wisdom of the Buddha. From life to life, kantiyana, kantiparami, viriyaparami, dhanaparami, silaparami, all paramis. To let go the idea of self by different means, by giving away things, not for any expectation in return at all. So, if we remember that it's a path of detachment, then it's safe from being lured or trapped by.
One thing, I would swing the other way and think, well, I'm detached, I'll just enjoy my hobbies and forget about Dharma. That's the opposite extreme in a way.
It's like the test of your understanding, whether the self regrets or not.
Regrets wasting time.
Yeah.
And that's not detachment, because that is pursuing the objects of
attachment. But each word of the Buddha is so very helpful. Don't be careless or underestimate akusala. Not trying to not having it, but only having more understanding. By conditions.
In the midst of akusala, letting them.
That's why hearing the teachings more often in a day can be conditioned for understanding, not for trying very much to have such and such understanding.
So can we say, before seeing the danger of akusala, we are always going after the... We're basically still going after the object of attachment.
Going after attachment.
Right. Before we see the clearly danger of the akusala, we're still quite a slave of all the.
The understanding can understand deeper and better danger of akusala. Mm-hmm. Even one moment, see, it will be more. No matter kusala or akusala. And it depends on panya, whether it's there enough. By condition, see? Mm. Yeah. Like the test all the time, each moment in one's life. Because the self is there, wanting, just wanting the best for the self.
Yeah.
When there is the understanding of reality and the teachings of Buddha, we can read Vinaya, Sutta and Abhidhamma with more understanding. Otherwise, if it's wrong for the Vinaya, that one can break the precept because not understanding the purpose of the Vinaya. And for the Sutta, it will bring more curiosity, thinking about other things instead of knowing that. What about Panya of this level, how much it can understand? And the Abhidhamma, that it can condition the thinking about the way it shouldn't be thought about, like Kamma and so on, yeah? So just understand what is there from the teachings. No self, seeing at that moment, no one there. Only that reality which is conditioned to arise and see, that's all. It cannot think, it cannot like. But it brings about what which are accumulated all the time. So we can say that half of one's life is the result, vipaka, and the other half is kusala or akusala by the accumulation. But who can stop seeing? It sees, but after that, the idea of what is seen comes so much about to condition such and such, kusala and akusala. So we can understand the difference between vipaka and kusala and akusala. Vipaka is just the result. It has to arise by conditions. That's all. Its function is just only vipaka. But the accumulation of kusala and akusala will continue adding more and more to be conditioned for vipaka.
You can stop.
Non-stop.
Even when we notice, say there's some mental process with akusala to the concept, and then this moment actually of noticing this akusala thinking. And the moment of noticing that is not sati, but is that kusala or akusala?
It's just only to be predicted, but not direct understanding it as not self. So it doesn't matter at all what kusala citta or akusala citta arising and falling away, as long as there's no understanding of the characteristic which is not self. Because from the satipatthana, the cittanupassana satipatthana, any moment of citta can be object of satipatthana to understand that which experience. Because it has to be one of the 89 types. It can be seeing, or it can be hearing, it can be thinking, it can be moment of like or dislike, but it's not a matter of trying to find out what is there, but to understand that that reality cannot be taken for self because it only experiences just that and then fall away, because there can be higher understanding, whether it's this lopa or kusala. That is another level of enlightenment, the second and the third. To see more and better and clearer about that, to be abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
to letting go further.
The interest or the attachment or the curiosity or even the practice of noticing can come in so quickly, taking an interest in whether it's kusala or akusala.
Silabhata paramasa.
Silabhata paramasa can come in very quickly.
It's very strong. See.
Taking an interest.
Being curious whether it's kusala or akusala.
No matter how strong or weak, panya can understand it. So it's a matter of the developed panya.
Yes. Yeah. Given us a lot of time again. Thank you so much.
Yeah. My pleasure.